Would you like to explain yourself?
For what?
I don't feel like I have to tell you.
I'm so confused.
Do you want to maybe apologize?
For being awesome?
Forget it.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 261 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany.
Go ahead.
Do we not know how this goes?
No, sorry, go ahead. Finish up.
And with me as always is Adam.
Adam, yeah. Adam. I got caught midway yawning through your intro.
So, yeah, you're not even... P.S. So did the listener. All right.
All right. Tell us about stuff.
Well, 2016, we're off with a bang.
Yeah. Huge.
Is this the year, like the first podcast to ever be canceled?
Does it, year six, it gets canceled?
I think so. Well, I don't think it's ever happened before. You can't cancel a podcast, can you?
Well, we just walk away, right?
I'm sorry, the cloud called. Yeah, it's just not working out.
I'm just going to drop my microphone. That's how I promised to go out. I'm just going to microphone drop.
Well, no, I think...
And you'll hear me yelling at my kids, too, in the background, yeah.
Someone's going to come in and just take it away.
Okay.
Oh, no, no, I'm too. Sorry.
Microphone repossession.
Please, hand over the keys to the mic. This is... It's gotten embarrassing.
Yeah, it's gone on long enough.
What is going on, Adam?
New Year's, like you said.
What?
Happy New Year.
Did you make any resolutions?
No, I don't think I did.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I
live my life,
a quarter mile at a time?
Yeah, I was looking for that line.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of it. It was 250 meters at a time.
Well, it's more than that.
It's a quarter of a kilometer.
It's roughly 400 meters.
Okay.
Quarter of a, roughly.
Okay.
Ballparking it.
Thank you, Mr. Math.
380 something. Great. Me neither. I mean, I did, but not really. Not really. Okay. Nothing to write home about.
Did we mention that I went to Vernon?
We mentioned in the space-time continuum, yes, and I want to hear about it. How was, you spent Christmas there, but not New Year's.
Right. We were there for Christmas. Yes.
How was Xmas?
It was great, and snow, because we don't have any snow down in Vancouver, so we went for a snowy Christmas, like we'd mentioned probably on the last podcast. And we got all the snow, and so the tobogganing and the outdoor hockey and all of that lived up to our expectations. So I haven't posted any pictures, but I have a ton of them, a ton of tobogganing and outdoor skating and stuff. So I will post some of those photos because they didn't really fit neatly into the challenge. So I will have some of those photos posted.
How did it not fit neatly into the challenge? Was there no fresh ice? Was there no fresh snow?
I guess there could have been. It seemed like it was a bit of a stretch. It was a little, there was fresh snow, but yeah, just it didn't seem. And one photo won't do it justice in terms of the photo challenge. So I'll post a sort of collection of photos, maybe 20 or 25, 15, something in that range, 15 to 25.
What was the highlight activity in that?
It was basically a split between the backyard tobogganing, which is unlike any tobogganing that that I've ever done, I would say it was 50-50 split between that and the outdoor hockey. So we probably got about an hour and a half to 2 hours per day we were there. So we're there for 5 days of each. So it was always a double header. You'd go to the rink for 2 hours and then usually tobogganing in the afternoon for 2 hours, and did that every day we're there because it was, everybody loved it so much. And we all enjoyed it. So we kept doing it.
And the kids were asleep by five.
They were able to kind of keep it going and usually stay up, you know, later than typical too. So I don't know how they did it. I was exhausted all the time. but in the tobogganing, they have, like, my in-laws have a property in behind their place. You've been there, you know. Mm-hmm. I've never tobogganed the hill. So it's a huge, huge kind of gradual hill. And they use the tractor and they plow kind of a trail. And so it's amazing because it's both a downhill and a sloping to one side. So they plow it and you end up basically, your toboggan gets sucked to the bank of that they plow all the way down. So what happens after you go a bunch of times is it gets faster and faster as the day goes on. So you kind of rip down it by the 10th or 12th time you go down, but it's such a long toboggan run. Probably, I don't know, I'm going to ballpark 600 to 800 meters long. So wow. It's a very long run so far that...
So it like takes, half a mile.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, probably maybe a little bit more, but it's a long walk back up. And so the adults would typically walk it, but this is part of why the kids didn't get too tired tobogganing. They would have a four-wheeler shuttle them back up to the top. Uh-huh. So an adult, and again, tiny legs, and you know, it's one of those things, they walked it sometimes, but for the most part, they were getting picked up on the four-wheeler. So someone would do four-wheeler detail, and literally they'd grab their sleds, they'd hop on the back of the four-wheel, and someone would drive them to the top. So they would go over and over and over and over, and you know, as you could do as a chairlift at a ski hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. I have to say, if I was a kid and I still kind of have a kid at heart, that's kind of the greatest thing ever. A huge long run and then a ride back up to the top.
So how does one photograph that? Like, what did you do? What did you end up taking with you?
I just took the 5D Classic and the lenses we talked about. So the 50mm, 85 and the wide angle. And okay. I sort of parked myself partway down the hill and shot some action shots of the kids coming down and doing the sledding. And then I kind of shot some pictures of, you know, the chairlift or the four-wheeler ride up to the top. So I pretty much stayed in one location that I kind of liked the background to and shot from different angles, some side profile and then some as they're coming kind of directly at me.
But the Classic only shoots 3 frames per second.
That, yeah.
You can't shoot action with that. You must have gotten 0 photos.
No, I got way more than I needed. And part of it is because they tobogganed 8 million times down the hill. So I was pretty sure if I didn't get it, I was going to get it the next time. But so all different combinations of people and some big long toboggan trains. But that's the beauty of it is that, you know, trial and error, as if you don't get it the way you want it, you know, on the first, second or 15th try, then you've got other opportunities there. And because we were doing it day after day, you know, I didn't take the camera to the toboggan hill every day, but probably 2 or 3 times I brought it out, and usually just for, you know, half hour or so. And then I wanted to toboggan myself, so then the camera went away. But I love that camera is just my best friend, because the photos are unbelievable. I'm still mm-hmm. convinced that what comes out of that camera are better than anything I've seen in any other camera. So that's one thing. Like we've talked about in the past, the LCD is a nightmare. So you have to trust that what you got is good, because you can't even tell most of the time if it's even in focus, mm-hmm. and certainly not critical focus. And the color is awful. But I mean, for the most part, I think my miss ratio in terms of with speed out of focus is probably 1 out of 10. So that few pictures are missed in focus in terms of high speed action with a camera that only shoots 3 frames per second, almost no misses. Now, I wasn't, you know, machine gunning when they come down. I take 1 or 2 on a run and that was it. And so obviously, you know, it's a little easier to get what you're focusing on when you're not just hammering the button and like
praying yeah, for the best.
Pray and spray. There's no more pray and spray. So
good. And so did you shot mostly with the 85 outside?
No, I wouldn't say so. I probably mixed between that. I'd say it's a pretty even split between the 50 and the 85. And then I probably shot 25-30% of the photos with the wide angle. I was just loving it. I was playing around. I used it at the rink because you get so much more of the atmosphere, of the feel mm-hmm. of what's going on in like an outdoor rink with a wide angle. And because a lot of the times I was on the ice with them, I really liked using the wide angle. So now I shot way more with the wide angle than I probably would have imagined.
Great.
Yeah, so I like that. That lens is not fast enough, though, as far as the focusing time. So tough shooting on the tobogganing with the wide angle. I did try some, but it's pretty tough. So you have to shoot with a fast shutter speed and a pretty big depth of field in order to get anything in focus.
Right.
Because of the focusing time and the motor in that lens. Again, it was a $120 lens, so...
Mm-hmm.
Get what you pay for a bit. And the 50mm 1.4 lens, the Canon one, is pretty quick, and so is the 85, which is why I found that if I was shooting with those lenses, never missed the focus.
And exposing in the snow, how'd you handle that?
Again, a little bit of trial and error, but pretty much bringing the white in the histogram just short of where you're gonna lose it out of the end of the histogram. So I bring the white close to the edge, and then I kind of tinkered in post. But the nice thing is they're all pretty much in the similar light. So one day's worth of tobogganing, I just, you know, changed the settings once, and then basically copy and paste all my adjustments to the rest of the photo. So that sped up the post-processing time. And I shot pretty much all in manual there because for that reason, as I wanted to kind of keep it the same so that it was going to save me time in editing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, especially when you get like that nice, maybe, you know, slightly overcast day and the snow, like everything is really flat.
Yeah.
Like these are when you're shooting, you know, photos of people, it's great because people are the subject. If you want to get these landscapes, well, you're getting kind of, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
But your people will look fantastic and consistent. You're right. Because when you shoot like 100 or 200 pictures in a session, you don't want to go through and edit them.
Exactly. And I found that for the most part where we were was overcast. So most of the photos were pretty easy picking. So there's no flash in anything other than stuff I shot indoors. I did for about 5 minutes, bring a couple flashes out and thought, oh, I'm going to do something cool with this. And I put them in Ziplocs to protect them, and then quickly realized what a giant waste of time when the light is already good for photos. So it was, again, it was one of those things where in a year or two or three, I would have just kept at it trying to make this cool, funky looking, completely artificial lighting setup that was nothing more than just kind of playtime for me. And this time I'd rather just actually toboggan. So that was the playtime. So the photography was kind of like, all right, I'm going to do this. Everybody was going to want these memories. This is great. I enjoyed doing it, but it was also, okay, only do it for a certain amount of time and then kind of move on. Right.
Great.
Yeah. So and I'll put up a whole bunch. And we did a one I particularly like is we do a annual tractor picture. So we it's usually a summertime picture, but I said we've got to do the winter tractor picture. So we put the tractor out and had a snowy group tractor picture, which I quite like. So I will definitely post that one. And then some skating ones and the tobogganing and the whole like. So that will go up by the time people hear this. I will put a group of photos on Facebook.
Sounds like a great Christmas.
Yeah, so it was. It was. Everybody had a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. How about yours? I had dysentery.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't have that. It was good. It was good. Not quite the same. Again, no snow here, which would have been nice. I found... Because we do, you know, Christmas is kind of overload here. We still have the kids are very young, and we have the Christmas Eve and then the Christmas Day, like the European Christmas, and then we do the Canadian Christmas, and so it's pretty, it's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I found this is the first year that I really, really had to dial back the pictures because my kids are both old enough now that they can both be complete tornadoes. And if I don't, you know, put the camera down and actually participate in some of the gift opening, I will miss it.
Right.
So
I was the same. There was like very minimal gift opening pictures. I think two of each of my kids.
Right. I mean, yeah. Part of mine is I feel the pressure to take pictures for, you know, the family who's back in Canada.
Right.
Who aren't here to participate, and they want to see the grandkids and you know, the niece and nephew and all that. And so, and then they've gotten them presents. And, you know, they sent stuff over, so I kind of want to take pictures of them opening their presents out of some obligation, but in the end, I was like, well, this year it's really, I'll get one or two just to document the fact that, yep, it happened, but it's just not going to happen. You know, like last year was easy. You know, my son was one. He was, you know, just sitting there.
Right.
Not this year. So
he was a goer.
They were in. Yeah. I don't think he understood the whole concept of what was going on. It was just, all right, open this. All right, now what? You know? But he was into it, and so was my daughter. But this year, I don't think I did in the past years, like on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, I actually shot with the wide-angle lens myself. Normally, I would just shoot with the 50 mil and go with available light, but for some reason, I just thought, I'm going to need the wide angle this year, the zoom lens.
Right.
Which I don't normally shoot with a zoom lens, but I thought, you know, I'm going to need the 17 to 40. So I threw that on and with the flash. I'm going to bounce the flash. I'm glad I did. I mean, everything was happening so fast, and the kids at this age don't respect minimum focal distance.
I know. Jack's the same way.
Yeah, so Daddy, I'm gonna sit on your feet and you snap a great photo, please. You know,
yeah.
Well, come on, kid. What, you know, 800 centimeters. Come on,
right.
Let's go.
Right.
So it worked out with the wide angle lens. It's obvious that you can get very close and you know in tight quarters. And so I ended up doing that and bouncing a lot of light. The challenge being like when we're at the aunt's house, they have a wood ceiling. Like a wood-colored ceiling.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, so you have to be careful. You start bouncing the light off the white walls instead, which is fine, except for there's, you know, invariably there's somebody walking directly behind you who's just going to take a face full of flash, and you kind of want to avoid that. And in the end, I got a few nice photos. My favorite one is, I don't think I posted it. Favorite one is slightly out of focus.
Okay.
Just because my son moved right that second, but the moment is perfect, so I, you know, kept it.
Yeah, that's okay. We've also discussed why that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to say now about these group pictures is that the stuff that I post, any of the big group pictures that I post on the Facebook, were done in maximum two reps. I did not go back for a third on any group combination. So that's the tractor shot. We did a group shot at dinner that the in-laws specifically requested. So we're talking a lot of kids under the age of six, or mm-hmm. sorry, under the age of seven, six and under. And getting everyone to look at the camera and all that, you know the difficulty of that and lots of children and also with adults. And so to say, okay, you know, here's 11, I think our group was 11, 4, 8, 9, yeah, 11 in a lot of scenarios. To get that in two shots and have everyone looking is one of those things that you're probably not going to get. But I decided that I was going to do two and that was it for any of these and we'll just go with what we got. And fortunately, in most of the scenarios, two is all you needed. And so mm-hmm. I'm very happy that... And you know, everyone was saying, that's it? Or you're done? Yep, I'm done. That's it. Two shots. If you can't look at the camera, that's too bad.
Right? That's on you. That's exactly my strategy for the last, I don't know, couple of years now when doing the group photos. Not for paid stuff necessarily, but for what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
I snap one or two, and you know, people say, oh, can I have a look? No. No, no. I'll email it to you. But, you know, but what if, too bad. Next time, look.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are picking your nose. In this one, that's on you.
But it's funny how, you know, in the past, I've complained that, you know, how you can't give me 15 minutes, you know, to make a really nice family memory. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of the pendulum has swung in the other direction. And I'm saying, I will only give you 2 minutes for
nice.
This. Yeah. But pleasantly surprised in doing it this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, different expectations too. So, but no, I think in all of the pictures and the group pictures, I don't think taking another 15 would have made it better. So.
But when you take these pictures, let's say you snap off, you know, in the old days you snap off 5 photos, and you go through them and you pick the one you're going to use. What's your criteria for the one that you're going to? Not everybody's looking in all the photos. It's not going to happen.
Right.
What is your criteria for? I have very specific criteria for picking the photo of the group.
I'd like to hear it.
Are my kids looking? Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. Yeah. 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 Or do I look good?
Well, that one's obvious. It's hard to take a bad photo of me.
That's true.
No, it's absolutely right. It's like, how's my family? My family looks good in this one? Okay. Print it. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't care about you. You're mid-sneeze. too bad.
That's good. I like that. That's
go ahead and buy yourself a camera.
Yeah. Words to live by.
Yeah. Down to business.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Did your daughter really get a selfie stick?
She did. I didn't get it for her.
I understand you didn't get it for her.
My wife did not get it for her.
I mean, I understand you didn't buy your kid crack cocaine, but if someone gave it to them, you'd probably intervene, right?
I would, yeah, yeah. She had it apparently on some... My wife assisted both children in kind of their Christmas list. And so I think she had it on there. I recognized that there was no way I was going to get it. My wife wasn't going to get it. And certainly my parents were not going to get it. But I could not control everyone on my wife's side of the family, apparently. And Sarah's aunt, one of Sarah's aunts, purchased a selfie stick. Unbeknownst to me, they kept it a secret. And she opened it and she was thrilled.
You're not quiet about your opposition to selfie sticks.
Yeah, but that's podcast, and I didn't pre-phone all the relatives. I mean, they knew I would not be happy with this, but that did not deter them.
Yeah, I think it egged them on.
Yeah, and that's partly on me for kind of being a jerk.
You're taking this remarkably well.
Well, it was one of those things that I will break it when she's you know, not around.
In addition, oh, no question. That thing's going down the stairs. However, I think I would take it one step further and say, I tell you what, Auntie, you are going to look fat in all the group photos. I am going to Photoshop. You are not going to be happy about this.
Yeah, that's a good idea. A little bit of revenge.
A little. I think it should go on for a minimum 10 years.
I have to say that Sarah was pretty infatuated over Christmas with the selfie stick. She brought it out on a number of occasions, but I have not seen her use it in the last week since we've been home. So I'm because no, like her brothers
because
aren't
going to take it on the roof.
Well, no, me and Jack has already established that Daddy and him are not selfie guys. So he's already made that claim. So he will not participate in the selfie with her. And my wife, I know, feels a certain sense of guilt. So I haven't seen her involved in the selfie. The aunt that purchased the selfie stick lives in Vernon, so that's not going to happen. And her other aunt, who is into it, is in Vancouver. So I'm pretty sure she's just going to forget about it because it's not going to get used. How many selfies can you take of really just yourself?
Me, zero.
Yeah, but I mean, usually Sarah is kind of a community. I don't know if it's called a groupie or if it's really a selfie times two, but she likes doing the selfie with somebody else.
Right.
Yeah, so now she doesn't have a dance partner.
Is there an actual name for that yet?
Lisa says Usy.
It's an Usy. I was going to say Usy. Usy is fine.
Yeah.
Not good. It's not. None of it's good. None of it's. But what does she take the pictures with?
She has like an iPod.
An iPod. Okay, that's what... Because my wife asked. My wife was horrified as well. She thought, oh, no. Like, for you, she thought, oh, no.
Yeah, she has an iPod. So, yeah it won't work with her... Polaroid camera, but I guess it plugs somehow into the iPod so that on the end of the stick there's a shutter kind of cable. Right. I don't know exactly, but again, it's meant for an iPhone or an iPod or something.
I see. So yeah. I guess the bottom line is next year for Christmas, her aunt's kids are getting a drum set.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is here's some drum set and a book of matches. and some crack. Go ahead and get them something less addictive and get them the crack.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have much else to say about it.
I'm angry for you, buddy.
Okay.
All right. How does she like her Polaroid?
She loves it. Yeah. She had that. She brought that to Vernon because that was a gift that she got in Vancouver.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, she got it ahead of time because we celebrated with my parents, and that was a present from my parents.
Okay.
So she got that because we kind of celebrated a week before we went to Vernon. And so she took that with her to Vernon and took a few pictures, loves it. It's awesome. It really is great.
And what is she doing with the photos?
She's sticking them up in her room. So a couple of times, like, she did one of her and her cousin, and we did it twice because she wanted to keep one and she wanted to give one to them.
Ah.
And then the other ones, I think we're going to make like a, she already has one sort of tack board of all the photos that she puts up in her room, but we've run out of that. We need another one because I think she wants a spot just to put those photos. So,
oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a well used gift.
In fact, like that inspired one of the gifts I bought for my kids was I bought each of them a cork board,
yeah,
like just a few dollars, yeah, nothing big, but specifically to put photos of them and their friends, like just to pin up.
Yeah,
I know my son's only two, so it's he only has 10 or 12 close good friends, but I want to kind of develop that sort of idea of the physical tactile photos.
Yes,
and
I like the fact that it also makes them think about what you take the photo of, because this. She's got 40, pictures basically in mm-hmm. terms of what she got when she got the camera. And so she's kind of thinking, oh, is that photo worthy? Do I waste a photo on a picture of, my sandwich? No, the answer is no, which I think is a good lesson even to apply to digital photography. So I like that she's kind of learning that lesson with, I'm not going to bother taking a photo of that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit jealous that she got one. I want one myself. I'll talk to your folks.
There you go. Yeah, behave yourself this year.
Say, hey, Mr. Holland, do you mind for next year? I would like one. Well, that sounds great. I posted this. We haven't even gotten into, did you shoot anything interesting?
Well, we talked about the Vernon. That was my
right. You did,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I shot. Oh, I guess we did talk about that. I did talked about all my stuff. Something else to do with photos, though. I posted, I think, to my own Facebook, not to Hoser's, but I posted. I decided this year I was going to go through and just quickly pick 12 photos that sort of represented the year.
Okay.
And pick one from each month, like specifically. No overlaps. And so I thought, hey, and it'll be of my kids, essentially, because that's, focus of everything, right?
Right.
So I went through and I basically just kind of, without thinking, wasn't going to be anything. It was just, I'm just going to pick 12 photos that represented the year, put them up there, hey, Happy New Year. That's the plan. And then ended up, more than one person said, wow, you got to make a calendar out of that. And I thought, actually, you're right. Would I have maybe spent a little more time picking the pictures? Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have picked better photos? No. No. Like, that's how you should do it. You should just go through and then later on go, that's a calendar. But the interesting part to me, and me only maybe, is that without thinking, I just went through and picked the 12 pictures that I felt best represented that month. Every single one of them was natural light.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, am I getting away from lighting stuff? Maybe. But for whatever it is, and they were all, I would say good photos. They're all, taken in good natural light. Like, they weren't, just crappy snapshots, but 12 in a row without thinking. So
I'll have to look at my calendar because we just made a calendar too. So I'll have to look at how many are lit. There's definitely a few in mine that are lit.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say it's at least, without even mentally going through the list, I'm going to say 75-25, but I'll let you know the exact ratio next show.
But I would like to, but it's a little different because you were making a calendar. Like, you knew you were making a calendar.
No, not with any of those photos. Did not at all. My wife said, hey, I want to make an annual, like she does often an annual calendar. And she said, I need photos, same thing. I need one photo for each month. Uh-huh. Go pick something. So I just basically went through and just picked one.
But you knew there were going to be a calendar.
Right.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know. To me, that that does not diminish your effort. I'm not suggesting that. I just meant like that when I think I might have picked a couple of lit photos had I known I was making a calendar. I don't know. Like the purpose of what was going on, I think would have defined the photos I took. What I'm suggesting is that if you didn't know, if you're just picking 12 photos to represent your year without making, and you didn't make calendars, which I don't, I bet you would have picked 100%. Okay. Natural.
Right, because you think it's more indicative of the time of year.
Maybe that's what it is. That's good point. I mean, are each of the photos in the calendar, were they taken the month that they represent?
For mine?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay.
Can't be 100% sure, but they were close anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I also recommend it to anyone still listening. It's actually a pretty good exercise because you go through and you think, well, you know, I got three great pictures in July and only in not very many in August, but the it's one per month. You can't push one over.
Right.
So, you know, what do you do? How do you represent the year? And then you take a step back and look at that, and you know, for me it actually did a pretty good job of representing my year with the kids. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I did that didn't involve them. Not a whole bunch of stuff. Three things. None of them sleep. But it was a pretty good summing up of the year. Okay.
Gotcha.
Challenge photo.
Yeah.
I think it was New Start. Is that what we said? It was a couple of weeks ago now.
Fresh Start. Or
Fresh
something.
Start. It was tied in with the New Year. Was what I was getting at.
That's kind of what I thought you were getting at. So I
went
for a New Year's photo.
Okay. You want to start with yours? Okay.
Sure.
That's a photo?
Yeah, that's Happy New Year's.
Okay, that's actually at New Year's?
That's New Year's Eve, yeah.
Midnight?
We did a photo booth.
Oh, okay.
So we were at a party. My sister-in-law, not the one that got the selfie stick, but the other one, had us over and a bunch of other people over for a New Year's Eve party, kid-friendly party. And she asked me specifically, she's like, well, would you be willing to do a photo booth? And I said, sure, that sounds like fun. So basically, this is a one-light photo booth, put a flash and an umbrella, and brought the 5D Classic with a 50mm lens on it and parked it on a tripod. Mm-hmm. And put the you know, light up in an umbrella and sort of set up where our spot was going to be. She has this nice blue accent wall, and I thought this will work perfect for a photo booth because you kind of, you know, that's often what the photo booths look. They have like a red curtain or a white or dark blue or something. I thought this will be perfect. And so that's it. Just, you know, basically set up a spot, said sit here and put the camera on a timer. And I didn't even worry about it. Everyone was like, really? You're not worried about someone knocking over your camera? I'm like, nope, try not to, but I'm not gonna sweat it. That's kind of why I brought the backup camera. And just put it on the timer so the people would walk up to it and just hit the shutter and then have 10 seconds to go and sit down. And then that gave tons of time for flash to recycle. I didn't know. I'm pretty sure you can't. But on my old T2i, you could set it to, you know, take three or four or five pictures or whatever in sequence. Mm-hmm. You can't do that on the 5D as far as I could figure out.
No, it's a piece of crap.
Yeah, so you basically get the 10-second timer. But it worked great. And once I showed people how to use it, they were just all about it. And the nice thing was, is they're all basically, because I put a stool for people to sit on so that, you know, everything would be in focus. And I think everything's at an F8 on a 50mm lens, which, you know, should never be a problem with focus for this situation. And then people just kind of took their own photos through the night. So probably after it was all said and done, I probably had about 150 pictures, but all in the exact same lighting and white balance that I just kind of went through, tweaked. Some of them I cropped a little bit because someone walks through the background and some of them are good. But super easy. And I was just in the process of editing them because New Year's was last night when we're podcasting this. And just tons of great kind of funny shots of kids and adults and combinations, family ones. So easy to do that everybody should be doing this.
It's funny you mentioned that because we went to a house party, more like a kid oriented thing. Everyone has kids the same age, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring a photo booth. And then we get it on the way out the door. I thought, I'm going to leave it.
And what was your impetus for leaving it?
Laziness.
Yeah. And when my sister-in-law asked me, it was right, like, I don't know, an hour or so before we're going to leave for a house. And I thought about it too. And I was like, how much work is this going to be? Turns out almost nothing. Mm-hmm. Especially if you trust in the fact that I said it to everyone ahead of time, don't ask me to take the photo. All you do, walk over it, push the shutter and go sit down and that's it. So,
and nobody messed with the focus.
No. At one point my kids, basically, bumped the camera to the point where it was not really aimed at the desired spot, uh-huh. In which case I went and moved it back and refocused it. But that's it. Like all the photos that, because I just went through them, were all in focus. And again, sometimes there were rechargeable batteries, and after 150 pops on rechargeable batteries that had been sitting in my bag for probably uncharged for about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, you can see on some of the times the full flash wouldn't be recycled even in 10 seconds, especially towards the end. And so mm-hmm. you might get one that's a little brighter than the next one, even though everything setting wise was the same. Or sometimes, people stood up and maybe they're a little closer to the light. So there's small variations, but again, very minor variations.
That's important though. You want that.
Yeah, exactly. Very minor. And I just, again, stuck with the main editing points that I did and just copied them across. But I love how they turned out, and they're exactly how I imagine them. Imperfect. You see shadows, and some of them you see, harsh shadows because they're right close to the wall. But that's kind of the thing. That's the photo booth.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I like these kind of things, especially if you leave, leave people to do them themselves. They get a little bit, less inhibited.
Absolutely.
And just kind of have fun with it, and you capture real emotions, and that's great. I mean.
And we had some props set up too, so you could put different things on and hats. And the best was watching the kids, because a lot of the times, like there was a 3.5-year-old, you couldn't get a picture. Like if you said, hey, come sit down and I'm going to take a picture of you, was not going to happen. But she probably took 43 pictures of herself with, pushing the button and going over and sitting down and smiling and making faces and stuff. And so that part of it is so great. And even the guys that you might, again, have a hard time coaxing a smile out of, when you put it and just leave it to them and they can do it whenever they want and go over with their girlfriend or wife or whatever, you get some just great shots. Like, so yeah, I will do this again. And, talking to my sister-in-law, we were talking about, it was a really good party and it was a good mix of people and we played some games and everything and there was kids and everyone had a good time and there was no meltdowns or anything. And, I asked her, what was her favorite part? Hands down, she said best part of the party was the photo booth. And nice. my daughter echoed the sentiments as well. And I was like, that right there makes it worthwhile.
Great.
So there you go. Happy New Year.
Great. Well, here's my New Year photo. It's my son discovering fire.
Yeah, there's one of your daughter like this, very similar from a couple years back, right?
It is. It wasn't my plan, but I remember that. I think I lit my one with my daughter though.
Maybe the composition and everything seems very familiar.
It is. It is. I did. There was a sparkler photo. Probably 3 years ago now. Because I guess he wouldn't have been around. Because, and I know this, because the first year we did the sparklers, it was just my wife, my daughter, and I. And it was no problem. And I was remarking it, a 1-year-old could handle a sparkler with no problem. Nobody got it in the eye. Like, I was like, wow, this being a parent is going to be easy.
Right.
And then at this party, there were 6 kids under 5. And all of a sudden, I've never danced so much in my life with these kids, with 3 sparklers among 6 kids. I thought, oh no, this is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
But it worked out. I mean, some of the kids, and my daughter included, no longer wanted to hold the sparkler, just did not like it at all. Whereas my son was into it.
Right.
He just loved it. And so I thought, I'm going to make sure I grab a photo of this. And so this photo is entitled The Reason That You Buy a Prime Lens. Yes. This is pretty much, he is in, without the sparkler, he is in complete and total darkness.
Right.
This is outside at night, obviously. There's some street lights in behind, out front of our friend's house. So I position myself on purpose. I wanted depth and down the street. And luckily, the street was a little bit wet, so it's nice and shiny. And with those street lights coming off, even though they're super bluey or whatever heck color that is, and I knew it wouldn't match, I didn't care. It was kind of, to me, it was part of the charm. And this is my 40D f1.4 on the 30mm lens.
Okay.
ISO 1600 to get enough light falling on his face. And even then, I had to shoot it at 1/50th of a second.
Okay.
And that, basically, the sparkler is lighting his face.
Nice.
And balanced in nicely with the background. Focus was an absolute problem.
Yeah.
And so, hearkening way back to an episode that we did about challenging focus, about getting focus in difficult situations, I flipped on the live view.
Okay.
And focused manually. Zoomed in, did a quick digital zoom into his eye, focused manually, and snapped away.
Okay.
So this, I mean, this is one of those photos that, I like it, but you are not getting this with your iPhone.
No.
Probably.
No, you're not.
So, or at any point and shoot, I mean, right away, your camera is going to put the flash on.
Yes.
And ruin everything about this photo. The background's going to drop off into black. You're not going to see those lights. You're just going to flood your subject right in the face with a straight-on flash. And even the sparkler. The sparkler will still register, but it'll be much, much darker. And so, you need full manual control over this, and really, if you don't own a prime lens, you should.
Mm-hmm.
For this reason. Christmas Eve, friends of ours were in the nativity scene.
Okay.
Play yeah. at their church.
Sure.
And so I like to support, I like seeing our friends' kids do stuff, so we actually went. We don't normally go to church on Christmas Eve. We went that night. Like 4 o'clock or something like that, and I went and checked it out. Now, being that guy, I wanted to make sure I snapped some photos. So I knew my friends, weren't going to get good photos in the super dark church with their iPhone,
right?
Which they didn't care. They're fine with it, but that's what I'm there for. So I bring my 5D Mark II with the 85mm lens. And shoot it at ISO 1600 and f1.8, as wide as the 85 will go.
Okay.
And I'm able to get 1/80th of a second shutter speed.
Yeah.
And on burst mode, that's fine. I mean, it's the nativity play. I need him standing there looking like Jesus or who. I guess he wasn't Jesus because that'd be the baby. I forget who he was. It was in German. I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, so I snap a photo of him and the his sister and all that and be done with it. But looking over at the guy next to me who's shooting pictures of his kid, and he has an SLR with the kit lens.
Yeah,
and he's smart enough to know that the flash. We're sitting 6-8 rows back. He knows the flash isn't going to do a thing.
Right.
However, that means he's shooting at best. He's shooting at like 1/5th of a second, maybe.
Yeah.
To get enough light. And if that, so his pictures are going to be terrible.
Yeah.
So, sir, if you're listening, buy a prime lens.
Yes.
Sir, if you're listening and you speak English, buy a prime lens.
Right.
Order. Yeah.
Okay.
Moving on. Okay. This week's topic, going to be a short one since we've, blabbered on and on and on.
What is it?
I hope you had one.
No,
it's gimmicks. I want to talk about gimmicks. Have you seen the Star Wars?
No, not yet.
I did.
Don't spoil it for me.
Nobody's spoiling it. First of all, let me point out, I'm beginning to think that the internet went and grew up. Because the internet normally is not populated by good things.
Right.
Nobody talked about Star Wars. As far as I could tell, like in my circles, Like, I know that generally, like, when baseball playoffs are on TV, I get the game, like, you know, 6 hours later or 2 hours later after it's over. That's when I'm awake to watch it. I have to stay off the internet because people inadvertently spoil that. Like, and that's just a baseball game.
Right.
Nobody seemed to spoil Star Wars or just talk about it in general.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, I don't know, falling into a category of its own in terms of, you know, everybody wants to see it, and most people who are diehards probably already have, but then there's a lot of people that just don't want to deal with the crazy lineups and the sold out shows that are just kind of waiting it out a bit. And so I think so far people are respecting that that sort of storyline and not spoiling it.
And I will continue that.
Thank you.
That's not what I want to talk about. I mean, and I saw it a little bit late. I saw it, I guess, like 2 weeks after, week and a half after it came out, because I need to see it in English. I want to see it in English. Obviously, it's an English movie. And so, you know, you don't have quite the options you do in Germany, as you would, you know, in Vancouver, let's say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it came out in English, and I wanted to see it in 2D. Are you going to see it in 3D?
No.
Why?
Because I want it to be kind of like the old experience. I'm sort of sentimental like that.
With some things, though. Not with everything.
Not with everything, no. But I
mean, you don't want polio.
No, I would prefer to see this in 2D.
And that was my thinking as well. 100%. Like,
I don't like the 3D that much. I mean, yeah, if it's a completely boring movie and it's the only thing that keeps me, you know, interested in is how they did the effects, then maybe. But this, from what I've heard, is a really good movie, so I really don't think it needs all the, you know, that extra fancying it up.
Well, then I'm going to ask you and the listener a question.
Okay.
Is 3D a gimmick?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, I also say yes. I think it is. I've never actually been to a real 3D feature film.
I have. Mostly they're kids' movies, and that's because they don't seem to even offer them half the time in 2D.
Really? Yeah. I can't imagine the kid. Okay, whatever. Never mind.
My kids don't care. They could care less about 3D, but sometimes it's just that the timing of the show just works. It's like, all right, this is the show time that is the best for us to get to a movie at all.
Wow.
We go to a lot of movies. My kids love movies, yeah.
Mine have never been.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's one of those things where it's not the same as, like, well, we live in a small town and this and that, and so it's not like it's always some kids' show playing that we can go see. And I want to take my daughter to the movies, definitely. But anyway, so for this one, you know, I happen to think that 3D is a gimmick. I saw at Expo 86, I'm an old man, at Expo 86, which was a big deal in Vancouver for some reason. I don't know why. I can't tell you where Expo 87 was. Nobody seemed to care, but Expo 86 was the big one. And they had at one of the pavilions, they had a 10-minute 3D movie.
Okay.
It was 100% gimmick. All it was like, okay, we're going to show you, you know, different scenes of Canada. And I remember at one point, they had a shot of geese flying. And it really felt like the geese were flying like right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that, you know, we were such gullible idiots that everybody in the theater, I remember, reached out to touch the geese.
Right.
So remember 3D being in its real infancy at that point. So that was kind of, oh man, that's cool. Or I remember hearing about, like, Friday the 13th 3D, that, you know, they made sure everything, all the bad stuff happens, like, towards the camera. So it's coming into the theater.
Right.
That's a gimmick. So I never saw that one, but I did see a movie called Captain EO.
That's the one from Disneyland, right?
Correct, with Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, yeah.
Michael Jackson dancing in 3D, and it was cool.
Yeah.
No question. But if we're not in 3D, no one would have cared.
Right.
And that is my point. So when it came to see Star Wars, I 100% wanted to see it in 2D because I knew, first of all, it was shot in 2D. They didn't shooting it in 3D is one thing, and then making it computer 3D later. If taking a 2D and making it into a 3D, evidently they do a good job. I don't know, but it is two different things. But they shot, not only did they shoot it in 2D, they shot it on 35mm film. Which, not just for someone like me who's a purist, it should be for everybody. That's a big deal.
Right, because they don't do that very often.
They don't do it very often, no. It's and it's awesome. You know, when done, you know, it really is. I very much appreciated the fact that they shot it in 35. However, evidently, they project it digitally, which I understand the economics of it, because when you used to shoot in 35, you had to basically strike a print, which is make like a full long, you know, like full length print of that 35mm negative, and then ship it out to the theater.
Okay.
Well, it's playing in, you know, a few hundred theaters. That gets very expensive.
Yeah.
So now it's much more simple to just send out a digital file. And you pocket the rest of the money.
Right.
However, my experience was it looked terrible in the theater I was in. The digital projection was awful.
Really?
Everybody looked plasticky. It was soft. It was really, and I don't think it's my eyes. Everything else, you know, I walked out of the theater and everything else looked sharp. So, the only thing, other thing I can think of is maybe I was distracted because when you see it in English here, they it's with subtitles.
Okay.
So it's English, but they throw German on the screen, which if you don't speak any German, probably not that distracting. A little bit at first, but you get over it. But if you speak German, now all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of caught up with, is that the proper translation? Why? How are they doing that? You know, so I get a little bit caught up in that.
Right.
However, terrible looking image. So I put it out there to people and say, hey, you know, what was your experience? And so I want to hear actually from our listeners, did you see it in 2D? Did you see it in 3D? You know, what was your experience like? Was the picture good? I heard 3D, the image was fantastic. But maybe that's just the new technology.
Okay.
So the other big question too is I want to hear from people is, do you think 3D is a gimmick? Because if it is, and it's used to sell, you know, move more units of uninteresting stuff, are we going to see 3D photography in our everyday use?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I beg to differ. I think it's coming.
Mm. I think it's already been there. I just don't think it's going to stay. Same thing with the 3D TVs. Like, nobody wants to see their TV in 3D all the time.
Is that true?
It's true. I mean, you don't even see them advertised anymore.
Is that right? Okay. I mean, I don't get into the
they gave, you know, up
the Best
they
Buys.
They gave up on 3D TVs.
Well, I in my estimation, like I thought that was the case. I remember when they first came out and they thought, oh yeah, here you go. And then I thought part of it was people were just kind of sour at the idea of having to drop $150 on glasses every time you wanted to watch TV.
Yeah, and then they started including the glasses, and the glasses got cheaper, and uh-huh. No, still, I haven't seen an ad for, now it's all 4K, everything's now 4K.
Right, it is, it's Ultra HD, which, yeah. Really, come on.
And then, I don't know what's next, but we were talking about this yesterday and saying the same thing. It's like, I don't want to see four times the resolution of HD. Already don't want to see half of the stuff that I'm seeing in HD, like the pores on people's faces. I don't need to see that. And now to see that four times greater, I don't know what they're thinking.
You're not seeing, it's only two times greater, which is the joke.
Oh, is it? I keep hearing them say four times more than HD, but regardless.
Okay. When you put it that way, yes. It's well, your HD is essentially 2K. And then 4K is double each way. It's I guess it's 4 megapixels, right? Isn't it? Or is it 8? Maybe it's 8.
I don't know.
Either way, it probably is.
I'm not going to be buying one anytime soon. I will be only buying one when my current HD TV breaks and there's nothing else available.
I think the deal is, I think maybe you're right, because it is four times, because it's two each direction.
Okay.
So it is two times two is four. So I thought 4K was 4 megapixels. They're purposely using confusing nomenclature to trick you into buying one. I know someone who bought one. And it was funny because I was in the middle of my rant at dinner, you know, about why we don't need 3D TV and 4K and we don't need this and you don't need that. And he's like, I just bought a 4K. Oh, it's good for you though. I'm like, what am I supposed to say? You know, like, why didn't you ask me ahead of time? Because you can get a really awesome HD TV, 42 inch, for about however much change you have in your pocket right now.
Yeah,
they're pretty much free. And then the same TV in a 4K is like, you know, $1,800.
Yeah.
So go with the other one.
Yeah. I agree.
And that, but now the breakdown, I said this about HDTV though. I mean, when HDTV first came out and you know, the 32 inch HDTV was like, you know, $3,000, and I knew people who were buying them.
Right.
I didn't get it. I didn't like it at the time. I did not like the image either. Like, it was pretty much in its infancy. And the images coming out weren't very good. The compression wasn't very good. We got like a lot of blocks and fast movement. It just wasn't a very good system. And I thought, well, what? Why? What do you need it for? And then you see, you know, baseball or hockey or something.
Mm-hmm. That's where it really kind of, I think, got a lot of guys interested in it, just because sports really came along quickly. They developed mm-hmm. in four sports, it seemed to be.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you're right. Baseball and football and hockey were really good. But, yeah, movies weren't so great.
No, they looked, and in fact, they actually still look pretty bad here in Germany because of the frame rate issues and all that. Like, there are issues that they have to deal with, and they don't do a very good job of it.
And a lot of the problems with those early HD TVs was they weren't very good at doing blacks, and in movies there's lots of blacks and dark mm-hmm. scenes. And then I remember the first HD TV I had, again, really for movies and dark scenes, it was just terrible.
Yeah. But it was all right. We're gonna sell these, and we need the gimmick, and there you go. And now it's at the point where it's awesome, and we have an HD TV. And for me, we only have a 32 inch. I didn't want to buy anything bigger than that. But the what I like the best about it is very thin, very light. It mounts on the wall, and it just stays out of the way.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I like about it. That's the highlight of HD. It's tiny.
Yes.
But then again, okay, so 3D not happening. I think it's going to make inroads. It's going to be a thing this year, I bet. It's going to be a thing. I'll bet you someone comes out with a program, if they haven't already, and I just don't know about it, that will take your existing 2D photo and make it into 3D.
I think it already exists.
Maybe. That shows you how much of an old man I am.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it does, and I'm pretty sure that most people don't care.
I don't... See, that's the thing, is I don't know. If I don't, people I don't know care, either. Why do they make 3D movies?
I don't know. I don't know. They make because, I'm convinced they make 3D movies for children.
Right.
Star Wars is an exception. And like certain movies, I think they're probably thinking that they broaden their box office by offering it in different ways. And so, uh-huh. you know, if they know that, you know, if they do Jurassic Park or Jurassic World or whatever the latest one is in 3D, they know that there's an audience that is really going to only go to the theater to see such a thing in 3D. And they know that the cost of turning that into a 3D movie is going to, you know, be a good return on investment. They're going to put it in 3D. And so I think they have whatever, they know the numbers of how many people will go only to see it if it exists in 3D versus, like you say, people who are going for the movie and not for the gimmick.
Uh-huh.
So there's an audience for it, but I don't think that the photography community is going to back 3D in the long run. That's what I'm saying. If it comes, it'll be short-lived, and nobody is going to back a huge movement of changing all the still cameras to being ones that are 3D.
But I guess for now, it's working out that despite you and I every week ranting about how much we love our 5D Classic, mm-hmm. we do that. However, the general consensus out there is that it's old technology. Don't waste your time. Throw it in the garbage. Buy a new one. And that is the narrative, I find, in the photography world.
But that's the narrative by the camera manufacturers who want you to buy the latest and greatest, which is the case for anything, because that's how they make money. I don't think that that's the consensus in the photography community of photographers.
And when I say photographers, I mean, you know, your soccer mom who is going to shoot, you know, people have asked me before and said, hey, you know, I want to get into photography. What do you recommend I buy? And I tell them the 5D Classic. You want to get into it? You want to learn how to take pictures? Find a 5D Classic for $500. Get yourself a 50mm lens and you're on your way. And your images are going to blow everyone else's out of the water. They're going to be phenomenal. Nobody takes me up on that.
Yeah, it's true.
This one, the guy at the store told me that this one, you know, this one has, it's 4K compatible, you know, or whatever. Like some other stupid gimmick. Or this one's got, you know, a low light beep sensor that makes coffee. And so that's the one I need.
Right.
That's the general narrative. And those are the people who are basically, I think, I don't know. They don't ask me, hey, Alan, what do you think about this? But here you go anyways. I think the bulk of the photography business now is held up by soccer moms.
That's probably the average consumer is just buying, the mid-level, you know, SLR.
Right.
You're right. You're probably, that's where all the sales are. And then the pro cameras get purchased, but they're probably not keeping up with, you know, how many T5i's do they sell compared to the 5D Mark IIIs?
Oh yeah, it's got to be 10 to 1.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah. And whenever I go into the camera store, look around, someone's always looking at that mid-level SLR and buying one of those mid-level SLRs and getting upsold on, you know, the filters and the lenses and whatnot. And so, yeah.
And the gimmicks. So what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to be far. Even if it's just a software thing that you can plug in for, I wouldn't say Lightroom, because I think if you're a power user of a Lightroom, you're probably not going to want 3D. But there's got to be plugins for these, you know, other photo programs that are going to say, all right, we're going to fake this out with 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's just on the computer only, I don't know. I mean, what about Lytro? Lytro, the camera you can focus later,
right?
That looks like a gimmick, and it's making inroads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so possibly with 3D, I could see it coming up. You know, even if, again, starting with the software and then catching on and saying, all right, we're going to do it in the camera. The iPhone is going to shoot. I bet you the next iPhone, the one after that, will shoot 3D images.
I hope not.
I think it's a waste of time. Well, 3D selfies are going to rule. Oh, I think it's useless. I mean, the example I even posted on my own Facebook, that, you know, is the Mona Lisa is in 2D.
Right.
I don't think Da Vinci, and he's Da Vinci. I think he invented everything that we have today was invented by him, evidently. He probably invented 3D photography and didn't paint it in 3D. I mean, I guess he did sculptures, which is, I guess, 3D painting. So
you just proved yourself wrong.
Yeah, I'm a moron, but that's a different thing. If you don't go to the Louvre and put on special glasses and look at the Mona Lisa in 3D, you don't do it because it's that kind of an art form. I feel the same way with photography,
I agree, and I think that's why that if it does come around, it'll be short-lived. Because, I mean, photography, whether it's film or whether it's digital, like these flat two-dimensional images have been around for a very long time, and that it seems like a completely different thing. I don't even know that apples to oranges. I don't even know that you would look at a 3D photograph and compare it in any way. I don't think you can compare it. It's two different things. And I don't think that if it does come, it will stand the test of time. That's my prediction.
I hope you're right.
And I think that's why it didn't happen in television. I think that people recognize that television, and it hasn't been around nearly as long as still photography. That's just not how television was meant to be.
But I feel like television was probably, when it first came out, was sort of like, well, why are you improving on the radio?
Right.
Which I think was the case. I mean, radio shows were very good at the time, probably yeah. very good. I don't know. People sat in the dark and cried a lot, I think. But we're doing an audio show, despite the fact that we really could be doing a video podcast.
Right.
In fact, we have people, every once in a while, we get a request. Hey, can you guys should do video. And people who ask me about, you know, oh, what is your podcast? Like, and I tell them, you know, what we do. And they say, oh, man, it seems like you should be doing video to really show that. And I said, no, I don't want to. That's a whole different art form. I like this. Now, maybe are we losing listeners, viewers? I don't know. I mean, maybe the way of the world is the video show. We're not going to do that because I think this is the way to go. I like this, not because I'm stubborn, but because I see the art. I see the benefit of this.
You called this art.
Yeah.
That's a stretch.
No, I'm doing the art. You're the Paul Simon.
Okay.
And so, I didn't say it was good art. The Sex Pistols were art.
That's
okay.
True. Yeah.
And they weren't any good. No matter how long ago it was, they weren't good. Now, with movies, I see the art in 2D. I get it. Like you're trying to create that sense of depth with only using the two dimensions. It's there's a certain brilliance to it without having to go and do it. That's what I like about it, is creating this false world. I was hoping digital projection wouldn't catch on. I was hoping that was going to be a fad. Here we are.
Yeah.
You know? So, okay, great. I accept it and move on. Now, just to wrap up real quick, can you think of any other gimmicks in photography? I can only really think of two.
HDR.
HDR, that's a gimmick. To me, that's a gimmick.
I know people would argue that it isn't, but to me it is. And yeah. I
prefer to work within the constraints. Although, I mean, I do shoot RAW. I don't shoot JPEG. I shoot RAW and then maybe, you know, pull some highlights back. So I do...
Yep, me too.
Mess around a little bit.
But it still is what more or less would occur to the eye. I know it might not occur in the spectrum of what the camera can completely see in terms of what we're doing with RAW files in post-production, but it's pretty close to what the eye can see, and that is not the case with a lot of the HDR that I see. It's an impossibility, and therefore there's nothing wrong with it, and it's still art in my opinion. It's just... it's completely different.
I find it to be rather gimmicky. Now, it's caught on. It's built into your iPhone.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is, you know, HDR light, which is kind of, I respect that. Part of it, ironically, is making up for the shortcomings of the digital process. In the film world in the old days, you could capture a lot more of that range. As technology progresses, though, we're kind of getting there where now they can grab it. There's a movie that's coming out with Leo called The Revenant.
Mm-hmm. The bear.
Evidently, 99% of that movie was shot with available light.
Cool.
That is unbelievable. That's not done. I mean, that was I think, what's his name? Kubrick did it with the F.9 lens he had and that, but like way back when. But this is not done. You light movies. But they shot this 100% available. They were going to shoot it on 35mm, from what I understand, but it just couldn't handle the low light situations. So they shot it with, I think, the Aeroflex camera, Alexa. which does a very good job, you know. So in that case, great, fine. You know, is it gimmicky? No, it's probably going to look great. The other gimmick I came up with. Now this is one that might be controversial. Is ISO 104,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a gimmick or is it real?
I don't know. I haven't seen a camera that can do that, but I'm sure it's out there.
But that some of the new ones are advertised. I know they do say it's, you know, it's pretty noisy at 104,000.
Yeah.
But in my head, whatever the highest you go to on your 60, usually 6,400, 8,000 maybe?
Yeah, I was shooting hockey today at 8,000.
Okay, but you don't go above that.
No.
You don't to go.
Yeah, 8,000 is pretty ridiculous.
Let's say you're going to go to 16,000 or 32,000. Why would you if you could? What would be the benefit?
Again, I guess faster shutter speed and low light.
Right. I mean, you could, I guess in theory you could. You could shoot and go, all right, now I can now shoot at F11, you know, at 1/2000th of a second if I'm shooting at an ISO of 104,000. I could do that. But you don't want to do that.
No.
At no point when you're shooting hockey are you thinking, man, I wish I was at F11.
No. No.
No, you're at F4 and you're like, yeah, that's great. Like F4 is the wheelhouse of where I want to be.
Yeah.
Or 5.6. I don't know what you shoot at. Probably
four,
F4.
F4. Yeah.
If you had a 2.8, you'd probably shoot at F2.8.
Yep.
But you're not thinking, oh man, I really wish this could go to ISO 3 million. So to me, that's a gimmick where we can just stop and say, all right, enough.
Agreed.
Much like this show, enough. We're done.
Yes.
No, not the show, this episode.
This episode.
So there you go. So I want to hear from everybody again. Take away. Did you see Star Wars? Did you see it in 3D? Did you see it in 2D? Did you see it in 3D because it was the only thing playing? I've heard from a few people that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
That I know personally, they said, yeah, I had no choice. I had to see it in 3D. So I'm interested to find out your experience and if you liked it in 3D or not.
Okay. Nobody spoil it for me.
Nobody spoil it. No, you should go see it soon, though, because...
I will. It's just that Christmas break and the movie mm-hmm. theaters are just a complete gong show.
Yes.
So I'm going to wait till kids go back to school, and then I feel like the crowds will completely have thinned out.
Yeah, and then we can talk all about the body shaming issue that's going on online right now.
Great.
Yeah, I want to dive right into that, and Carrie Fisher, we'll make a whole episode about it.
Okay.
Don't listen to that one. Photo challenge.
Hockey.
No, I'm not going to play hockey. Well, I could. It could be hockey if you want it to be hockey. But the only stipulation being you can't have already shot it from the time of this recording.
Okay.
Will you shoot new hockey?
I can. We got a hockey tournament going on. That's why I'm spending all my time the next couple of days in the hockey rink, so... If there's going to be a photo, it's going to be probably of someone playing hockey.
Okay. Oh, the garbage men are coming by, and I'm wondering if I should have put my garbage out.
Okay.
I probably should have. Uh-oh. Yeah. Lena? Well, that's going to be 2 more weeks of diapers in front of the house.
Peek behind the curtain of your life.
Yeah. There you go. That was awesome. Okay, but my other stipulation is that you make it good. Make it good hockey.
Okay.
Okay, something interesting. Not just, here's my son playing hockey. Make it something visually interesting.
Oh, that's tough. Do you have another challenge?
use a gimmick. Make it 3D.
No, come on.
Yeah, no. Okay, how am I going to shoot hockey?
Okay, well, you have another photo challenge.
No, we're doing hockey. That's what we're doing.
Okay, we're doing
make it good. All right, websites. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
AdamSchwartz.ca and the Two Hosers Facebook.
And you can find mine at AlNatridge.com, the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can find the links and the pictures and all the stuff. Oh, and more importantly, the Amazon click-on link.
Great.
And if you're looking at our site on a mobile device, I still have not figured out how to bring the Amazon links to the top of the page. You have to go all the way down to the bottom to get it. So please bear with me, and I'll see if I can figure that out, but don't count on it.
Okay.
Until next week.
get out there and make better photos.